mic. Judy, so sorry to embarrass you like that. But Father, thank you for these words we've just had read to us by Mike. Really serious and yet humorous words too. And we ask that through them, by your Spirit, you would help us to know you a bit better, and be in awe of you a bit more, and love you with our whole hearts, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Okay, thank you. Who's doing the... who am I looking at to turn it on?
Pippa.
Pippa? Okay, thank you. We've discovered that the early part of the book of 1 Samuel, chapters 1 to 7, focuses upon Samuel, a wonderful prophet, miraculously birthed, prepared and called by Yahweh to speak the word of the Lord to the people of Israel. And throughout chapters 1 to 3, Samuel has been increasingly the focus of attention. Beginning with chapter 4, however, Samuel disappears from the limelight. And for three chapters, including the one read to us this morning, something else takes front of stage. And that something else is the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant of the Lord Almighty, chapter 4, verse 4, or the Ark of God, as it is called in verse 1 of today's passage. This Ark of God has been taken into battle by the Israelites to help them get the better of their enemy, the Philistines. It has been lost along with the battle. Thank you, Pippa. Old Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas, have died in the fight. Thank you. Eli himself has died of shock upon hearing news of the capture of the ark. Eli's pregnant daughter-in-law, thank you, has gone prematurely into labour through the shock of learning that the ark has been captured and her husband has been killed. She has given birth to a son whom she names as she is dying. He is to be called Ichabod. Thank you. Ichabod means no glory. And the new mother declares with her last breath, thank you, the glory has departed from Israel, for the ark of God has been captured. One commentator reflecting on this touching scene notes that actually Eli's daughter-in-law is mistaken. Thank you. The glory of God has indeed departed, he says, but not because the ark of God has been captured. The ark has been captured because the glory had already departed. In contrast to the touching and tragic calamities of chapter 4, our chapter 5 of 1 Samuel contains humour. Humour and irony. Thank you. We go with the victorious Philistines to the temple of their god Dagon in Ashdod, where they proceed to honour Dagon with their achievement. The chest belonging to the defeated god of the Israelites is placed in the shrine of Dagon, spoils of war and symbol of a weak god knocked out by their glorious god, Dagon. And perhaps their idea also was to recruit the god of the Israelites to their Philistine pantheon, one more tribal god brought onto their side. Here in Ashdod, the main god is Dagon. In the temple at Ekron, the god Baal-zebub was honoured. The Philistines' god Dagon has engineered the defeat of the Israelites' god at their hands. The ark of that now conquered god sits under Dagon's eye, indicating its submission in now being forced to serve Dagon. Except that next morning, Dagon is found prostrated before the ark of the Lord. Thank you. There was Dagon fallen face on the ground before the ark of the Lord, verse 3. Well, quickly, the witnesses to this bizarre event gather up the fallen Dagon and put him back in his place, verse 3. Thank you. Fast forward to the following morning, and Dagon is again discovered fallen on his face in front of the ark. But this time, his head and his hands have been chopped off as he is forced to bow down before the Ark of the Covenant. So no being put back together by humans now. Yahweh has outgodded Dagon, if we can say it like that. Yahweh has outgodded Dagon without a single Philistine or Israelite in sight. Thank you. The Ark of the God of Israel must not stay here with us, because his hand is heavy upon us and upon Dagon our God, is the conclusion that the Philistines draw, verse 7. Dagon, the god, found himself broken in bits, bowed down, scattered on the threshold of his own temple. The people of Ashdod, where the temple is situated, found themselves suddenly suffering from a terrible plague, verse 6. So both God and people feel the weight of Yahweh's hand upon them. Dramatic pause. This is drama, isn't it? It's wonderful. Well, it's sort of wonderful. Thank you. So an urgent scramble begins to get rid of the Ark of God. The rulers of Ashdod managed to whiz the dangerous chest up the hill to Gath, 12 miles from their city. Devastation follows for the citizens of Gath, and so its leaders send the ark north to Ekron. The Ekronites see the procession arriving and block it. "They have brought the ark of the God of Israel around to us, to kill us and our people," they cry. "Send the ark of God away. Let it go back to its own place, or it will kill us and our people." Verse 11. People in their city are already dying, and the captured ark is only at the city gates. Thank you. It appeared to Ekron's inhabitants. No, that's too far. Back one? Yeah. Forward one, thank you. It appeared to Ekron's inhabitants that God's hand was very heavy upon them all, and the outcry of the city went up to heaven. Verse 12. Does this mean, those words in red there, does this mean that the Philistines were now calling out for mercy to the God of the Ark, the God of heaven and earth, to a God greater than Dagon or Beelzebub or the Ashtoreths? And it becomes a 7-month scramble for the Philistines to distance themselves from the dangerous Ark. They die in their thousands from the plague, whilst their wonderful god Dagon lies humiliated, broken, powerless in his temple. The Philistines' conclusion is that the God of Israel has not been captured, even though the ark was captured. And we will discover in 2 weeks' time what the Philistines plan to do about their shocking situation. But for now, a recap, thank you. For the people of Israel, the Ark of the Covenant is captured. Priests and an exemplary prophet die. A baby named Ichabod tells the truth about what is going on, as the glory of Israel proves to be gone. What will it take for the glory to return. For the Philistines, thank you, Pippa. Captors of the Ark of the Covenant. Their victory turns out to be their worst nightmare. Far worse than if they had lost the initial battle. Their cities are full of dead and dying communities, including young people. Their God has proven powerless, exposed as a sham, destroyed. They look up to heaven now, where they acknowledge that another powerful and holy God is judging the affairs of humankind. Thank you, Pippa. For Yahweh, this glorious God is the God of Moses, think Exodus, of Elijah, think prophets of Baal, of Daniel, think lion's den, of Esther, think evil Haman. God of the proud Herod, who was eaten by worms, according to Acts chapter 12, verse 23. God beyond the Roman authorities in the persecution time of old John the Apostle. He is also the God of Israel, whose priests Hophni and Phinehas bring judgment upon themselves. Later, kings and priests and prophets will similarly fail this glorious God. And the whole nation will end in exile, its capital city and temple destroyed. Ananias and Sapphira will meet this God's discipline in the middle of a Christian worship service. And so will false leaders throughout the churches of Asia Minor, according to the book of Revelation. So, dismissed by others, let down by his own people, the glory may depart, but it is not made nothing. Rather, the glory has the final word. So for us, thank you, Pippa. A few tough questions for you to chew over with your Sunday roast. Thanks, Pippa. If God is totally self-sufficient, why does it matter to him to involve us in his vision for humankind? Thank you. Do you think that God heard the Philistines' cry when it went up to heaven? Do you might like to look up Amos chapter 9, verse 7 here? And then, thirdly, thank you. Are we ever guilty of assuming that we are in good fellowship with God, when from his perspective, perhaps, we are in danger of seeing the glory stepping away? Let me give you a moment. Father, we present ourselves to you this morning and our thoughts, and they're pretty raw, some of them. And we ask you to shed your light upon the thoughts in our hearts at the moment. Thank you that you are beyond our imagining, a holy, awesome, evaluating God. And yet, one who loves anyone, who will cry out to heaven, who will turn to you, who will long for you in their lives. Sift us and save us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.